Podcast. I'm Aaron Berger, a Nebraska Extension beef educator. For today's Beef Watch podcast, we will be discussing an article that Jay Stott wrote for the April issue of the Beef Watch newsletter titled Calculating Forage Demand and Forage Availability. Thanks for joining me today, Jace.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So the spring and summer grazing season is just around the corner, and matching forage available on range and pasture to animal demand is foundational to grazing management. Share with our listeners a little, Jace, about some principles and practices they need to think through as they prepare for grazing season.
So I think ultimately that we need to shift from the idea of producing beef to the idea of producing grass. That is our resource. Good grazing management is understanding how much of that resource that is available. That takes time, energy, effort. But that's at the foundation of grazing management. And it requires producers to be flexible, too. They need to be out on the ground. They need to be looking at their pasture, understanding how much forage is available. And that determines whether, you know, how long you keep your cows out there, how many cows you can have out there. It's the foundation of everything we do in grazing management. So that's the takeaway message, I would say, and the thing I would encourage people to do this upcoming spring is to get an idea of what your forage availability is.
So, Jay, share with our listeners a little bit, what are some ways I can go find out what I do have in terms of forage available?
Sure. There's some different options that we can look at. One option is the NRCS has a soil survey, and depending on where you're at in the state, what region you're in, there is a general estimation of your forage production. That's not an exact science. I like to go the simple route. If you have any type of hang record, see what your average production was. You can use that as a basis for understanding what your forage production is. If you don't have those things, and you also need to realize that depending on the area of the state you're in, it's going to change quite a bit. So I like to clip either a hoop or a frame, and in the article that I wrote, that there was a link that showed the, some of the conversion factors to pounds per acre, some of the sizes you can use. But just go clip some forage, dry it out, and you can get a pretty good estimation of what your forage production is per acre.
Jace, I guess tell us a little about on the clipping. If I was to go out and clip, how do I measure that? Do I take everything? Where do I clip? Do I take this year's growth, last year's growth? How do I sort out what I actually weigh and measure?
Well, there's a few things to keep in mind here. Cows don't eat everything. They're going to eat what's palatable. So if it's something you don't think they're going to eat, it's a dead material that they're not going to utilize, I wouldn't count that. You have to be realistic in what you're measuring as far as your forage production. It's also important to keep in mind that you might have 2,000 pounds per acre out on your designated pasture that you're measuring. However, that doesn't mean they're going to be able to eat all that. Proper grazing management strategies indicate that we eat half and we leave half. So right there, if we have a 50% utilization level, you've already gone from 2,000 pounds per acre down to 1,000 pounds per acre. Additionally, within that 1,000 pounds, the cows aren't going to eat all that. There's going to be a lot of loss because they're going to trample on some of it. There's going to be insect damage. Whatever the reason, they're not going to eat all of that. So you're going to be down to about 25% of the original forage production. So that can be kind of sad to producers when they get excited at first on how much forage they have out there. Then they realize that they can only use 25% of it. But it's important that you calculate that, or else you're going to be in a lot of trouble later in the growing season if you miscalculated your stocking rate.
So I've gotten a handle on now in terms of what I have available to me from a forage availability standpoint. How do I think about grazing animals and what they consume? How's that go into this?
Yeah, sure. When you look at animal demand, one term we use a lot is animal unit equivalents, AUE. Essentially, that's how you standardize grazing demand for different sizes of animals. So within the industry, the standard is a 1,000-pound animal equals one AUE. Each 100 pounds over or under that weight, you're going to add or subtract 0.1. So for instance, if you have an 1,100-pound animal, the AUE will be 1.1. If you have a 900-pound animal, the AUE will be 0.9. It's really easy to calculate. So once you have the AUE, all you have to do is multiply that to the number of animals you want to graze and for the amount of months you want to graze, and that is your demand. Pretty simple to do.
So how much forage would I expect a 1,000-pound cow to eat?
So now we're moving into something that's called the AUM, the animal unit month. And so that's essentially a measurement of forage and how much a cow will eat per month. So we have the animal unit, which again, that's a 1,000-pound animal. And then we have a time period, which is months. So that you combine those together, you get the AUM. Within the industry, the standard is a 1,000-pound animal in a month time period is going to eat 780 pounds of forage on an air dry basis. If you go oven dried, it's about 680 pounds. There's different levels of forage that a cow will consume. If you go to different sources on the internet or you look at different professionals, it's not an exact science. The point is we're getting in the general ballpark, and that's what most producers really care about.
Yeah, I'll just make a quick comment here. We have done some good research in Nebraska. T.L. Meyer did some work at Goodmanson that actually kind of validated this 780 number based on animal weight, and that's available in some beef reports if folks want to go take a look at that. But you're right, Chase. There certainly is some variation in the industry in terms of this standard animal unit in terms of what it's expected they're going to eat. What do I do with things like calves, Jace? I mean, they start out at 250 pounds at the start of the grazing season, and hopefully they weigh significantly more than that at the end. What do I do with something like that?
So calculating your animal demand on growing animals is really all about averages. You want to find the average weight for a certain time period, and based on that weight, then you can calculate your animal unit equivalent. So for instance, when I look at AUEs, or the animal unit equivalent for a cow-calf pair, I put that at about 1.5. That doesn't mean the cow weighs 1,500 pounds. It doesn't mean the calf weighs 1,500 pounds. Typically, I'm calculating for a 1,200-pound cow and a 300-pound calf, and I put it together to get 1,500 pounds. So that calf, we gave it a designation of 300 pounds, but we know when it's born, it doesn't weigh 300 pounds. It's not eating a lot of forage. Its rumen isn't developed yet. But when it's getting ready to be weaned, you know, at the end of the growing season, that thing could weigh anywhere between 450 or 600 pounds. So what we do is we take the average weight for that time period, and based on that weight, then we can calculate an AUE. And with the AUE, we can go ahead and calculate our forage demand.
So would I use the same kind of approach if I was turning out, say, some six-weight yearlings?
You're going to want to get an average weight for your herd, too. You know, that's going to vary all over the place. So you might have some 500-pound yearlings. You might have some 800-pound yearlings. You need to get the average weight. But I would say use the same principle. What's your average weight for your group for that time period?
Is there any way I could use historic grazing records to maybe give me an indication of what I might expect to be out there for forage availability as well?
You know, that depends on how historic it is. So how far back are we talking? You know, are we looking at grazing records 50 years ago? Well, things have changed 50 years from now. Our precipitation regimes have changed. How we've grazed has changed. There's going to be differences. It depends. And that's kind of the go-to answer in range management. It can be really frustrating, as it depends. So depending on how far back you're going, it can be accurate. You go back too far, you might start getting some variations in what's actually accurate and what's not. But if you're going back, you know, 10, 20 years, and you have averages, the average from 10 to 20 years, then I would go ahead and use those historic records. But you go too far back, you're going to have some variation and things that might not actually be what's real in today's scenario, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does. Jace, how do I handle just variation in forage production? I mean, we got years like 2012, and then we've got years like 2016 that some pretty drastic differences out there in terms of forage production. How do I take that into account?
Yeah, well, that's all about being a good manager and being flexible, kind of what I said at the beginning. You might have an average forage production, but yeah, like you said, from year to year, that can vary drastically. And, you know, I encourage two things. One, I encourage a consistent stocking rate. That gives you a little bit, that keeps you safe in terms of having too drastic of destocking or increasing your stocking numbers. It's kind of the safe road to travel on. However, with that being said, yeah, there's so much variability between your forage production from year to year. You have to be flexible as a manager in terms of staying on top of things, watching your pastures. You know, maybe this year you have quite a bit of forage. You're not having to worry about your stocking at all. But maybe next year we have a drought come through. Your forage production is 50% of what it usually is. You have to start making some management decisions. Do I destock now so I can save my resource, which is the grass? So it requires flexibility. You really have to be on top of things. You have to watch your pastures constantly. It requires good management.
So as we think about stocking rates, so we've talked about forage available out there, then we've talked about demand. How do we get back to what are we actually harvesting per acre as we think about an AUM basis?
So again, if you look at the calculations, it's not 100% of what your available forage is. You're looking at about 25% what your available forage is. That's what you're probably going to be able to use for your forage availability. So once you determine that, you need to determine, okay, how much is an AUM going to eat per month? And we said the industry standard, 780 pounds. So what you do is you take your available forage. So if, for instance, you have 2,000 pounds per acre, of course, you're only going to be able to use 25% of that. Let's go 1,000 pounds because I'm bad at math. So you have 1,000 pounds per acre, use 25% of that. You have 250 pounds that are available. Let's say you have 10 acres altogether. So you multiply that by 10 so you can get how much forage you have. And then you divide that by the 780. And that will tell you what your availability in terms of your forage availability is in terms of AUM. Now, what you need to do is compare that to your forage demand. And we talked about that earlier. It's really easy. You just take your AUEs, your animal unit equivalent, multiply it by the number of head, multiply by the number of months of grazing. That'll give you your demand AUMs. And you can compare between your demand and your availability, and you can see how well they're matching up. And based on that, you can make management decisions whether, okay, I need to graze less animals or I can graze more animals, less amount of time or longer amount of time.
Jason, any other resources available to folks that might be helpful as they seek to understand this forage availability, forage demand concept?
There's beef educators that are spread throughout the state, people who understand how to do these calculations. We'll get in touch with you. If you have a question, call the extension office and we'll get us lined up so we can help you out. Also, if you go to beef.unl.edu/AUM, there's a YouTube video that I believe you helped with that. You and Carla Jenkins, it's really helpful. It goes through all aspects of AUM calculations. I use it all the time. Really helpful tool. I'd utilize that. It seems complex because there's so many different ways you can calculate it. But when you really just follow from step to step, it's not that bad. Yeah, I mean, you can do it. There's resources out there to help you. Call your extension office. Use the University of Nebraska website, the beef website. There's a lot of resources out there to help you calculate this.
There is a lot of good resources. And one other resource I would mention, Jace, that I think for folks who like to use a spreadsheet is the grazing records spreadsheet. It's a spreadsheet developed by Jerry Valesky. It's available at the beef.unl.edu website. You can go in and plug in all your pastures and then also plug in what you think would be an estimated grazing target in terms of animal unit months available per acre. And that spreadsheet will help you calculate animal or forage demand, or I should say both forage demand and forage availability, and also see how those match up. And I think a really nice tool. And so there also is a webinar available on that spreadsheet. Again, it's the grazing record spreadsheet. If you go to the beef.unl.edu website, just type in the search tool there, grazing record spreadsheet, and it'll pop right up. And both the templates available to be downloaded, as well as a presentation on how to utilize that. So another tool that I think is really nice. People who I've seen utilize that tool do really find it's a nice, not only planning tool, but something to go back and look at what you have been doing. Keeping your records in that can help you plan for the next upcoming grazing season. Jason, anything else to add as we wrap this up?
You know, just the main thing is keep it simple. There's so many variations of these calculations you can do. Ultimately, it all comes down to what's my forage demand, what's my forage availability. Those are the main categories everything falls under. Just keep it as simple as possible. I mean, I always keep it simple because I've got a simple brain, so that's the only way I operate. But, I mean, do guess and check if you have to. Plug it in. Just keep comparing your demand to your availability. Just try to follow these guidelines and try to figure out what your availability is. That's the hardest part, but that it's so essential. It's so essential to understand what your availability is so you can do proper grazing during the season, or else you might have some problems later on when you run out of forage.
Thanks for joining me today, Jace. For more information on the article we discussed in today's Beef Watch podcast, please visit the beef.unl.edu website. Again, this article is in the April issue of the Beef Watch newsletter. At the website also, you'll be able to find more information on utilizing animal unit months and grazing records. And there's also some additional Beef Watch articles and videos related to this topic as well.